Well, thank you to Pastor Josh and the worship team for leading us in worship today. Beautiful time in the Lord's presence, totally with the words and everything, totally prepared us for what I'm going to say. I didn't even cross board with them about what I was going to say, but it fits all together. The Lord's working it all out beautifully. And I wasn't here last week for a VBS recap, and that felt weird not to be here, but it just worked out that way with my family being away. But I have to say, we watched it, and thank you for Josh and Lisette and everybody who made that service possible also. And I will echo something Lisette said last week. Every year, when I see that many volunteers give that much of their time, that much of their heart and soul to reach the kids, it just always leaves you a little bit clamped, as they say. We have some great, great people. So thanks to our amazing volunteers. All right, well, 3 weeks ago, Pastor Josh did a sermon for you called Storm Walkers. You might remember about Jesus walking on the water. And you might remember he told us that was one of the signs of Jesus in the book of John. A lot of the Gospels have tons of miracles in them. And John focuses on just, I think it's seven that he focuses on. And that week when he was getting that message ready, he said to us, he said to me that week, you know, maybe this would be a good series and we could do other signs of Jesus from the book of John. And so we got talking about that. And he suggested that I cover one from John chapter 5. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to make this our kind of series here as we head into August, the signs of Jesus. And we're going to be turning to John chapter 5 for one of those signs. You might remember Josh told us that a sign is a miracle that teaches a lesson. So we're going to learn something from the miracle in John chapter 5. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 9 for starters here. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. And then verse 4 is, in some people's Bibles, it's a footnote. Verse 4, for an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Verse 5, now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. Now, when I first read that, I thought to myself, okay, I've heard that story before. Jesus healed a guy. Okay, what do you say about that? Pretty cool. Okay, let's go to lunch. I mean, I wasn't getting anything. Maybe that's why he said I should do that message, because he wasn't getting anything either. I don't know. Wasn't getting anything. But as happens with all scripture, you got to press in. You got to think about it. You got to meditate upon his word. And you got to spend some time in prayer saying, Lord, what are you saying in this? And I was absolutely floored by how much there is in this little scripture. And that's you'll find that when you really start digging, you'll always find gold. But on the surface, this is a miracle of physical healing, and I will just say off the top here, we do believe at our church that God physically heals people. We've seen it happen. And every time someone is sick and we're praying up here, we're praying for healing. And I encourage you, if you are seeking physical healing, to believe that he's able. But there's a disclaimer here, because as in this story, it is in our lives. There was multitudes of sick people at the Pool of Bethesda. And for some reason, Jesus walked by a bunch of them and only talked to the one and only healed the one. And we don't understand. We don't like it, and we don't understand it. Why does God heal some and not heal others? And that kind of sets up a dilemma in our souls. Okay, God, I'm wrestling with this. I'm wrestling with these thoughts. I'm wrestling with these emotions. My faith is tested here. Why? And that kind of points me in the direction I want to go, because some of us can relate to the physical healing need this morning, but all of us can relate to that soul and that spiritual healing need, that battle that goes on within us. Why, God? This thing goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. If you think about it, they could not stand spiritually after the what's called the fall of man, right? They were there in the garden walking with God. They were, as it says, naked and unashamed. Hi, God, here I am. I'm walking with you. I'm standing. I'm walking. I'm healthy spiritually. I'm healthy in my soul. There's peace. There's joy. There's love. Everything's good. After the enemy comes in, it's like, that's why they call it the fall. They were standing with God, and now spiritually they've fallen, and they can't get up, like the old commercial says. They've fallen away from God, fallen away from his standard. They've fallen in their relationship further away from him. They've fallen in their, the way they think. They're all blaming each other. They're all bitter, angry, and upset. They're fallen in their emotions. They're not happy anymore. They're not at peace. That's the fallen nature of man that we're all born with. We are not born like standing before God with totally guilt-free, innocent happiness. We're born into a fallen world. We're born into a fallen condition. Our souls cannot stand before God. Our souls, our spirits are crippled. We are like that man at the pool. We need someone to help us. We can't get up as far as getting up where God is, where the peace is, where the joy is. If you follow that through the Old Testament, you'll see the word righteous and upright quite often. And righteous meaning that plumb line, that standard, that straight edge that God sets. Here's the right way to do things. Here's the standard. And people who want to be upright, as the Bible says in the Old Testament several times, upright in heart. In heart, in emotions, in thoughts, in your inner life, you want to not be down here where the bitterness is, where the blame is, where the guilt is, where the negative, where the yuck is. You want to be up here somewhere, upright, standing before God, where the peace is, where the love is, where the joy is. You want to be up there. You want to be upright. Is it no coincidence that they use these words, upright rather than fallen? But basic message of the Old Testament is, found in Psalm 14, there is no one righteous, not even one. Echoed in by Paul in Romans 3. No one is righteous. No one can stand before God. No one can do it. We're not good enough. Somehow we can never overcome our issues, right? We can never get it right. Or not for very long. Maybe we can get up on one leg for a couple seconds and then fall back down again. So enter Jesus, hallelujah, the righteous one came down to the fallen world. And did he come in condemnation? Say, oh, you guys are fallen. You should be upright like me. Look at me. He didn't say that. He said, I came not for the righteous, I came for the sinners, the ones who have fallen, the one who can't get up. And he proves it over and over again. This miracle in John chapter 5 is just one of the examples where he heals someone who can't stand up. Let me remind you of a couple. Luke chapter 5 tells about a paralyzed man. Guess how he heals him? He says, your sins are forgiven. Right. He heals something in his soul, and then the man's able to stand. No coincidence, symbolic healing for us. Luke 13, there's a story. I didn't even remember this was in the Bible. I'm really bad. A woman had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. This is in Luke 13. She was bent over, it says, I'm reading it right to you, could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. We talked about releasing some stuff today, didn't we? He laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight. She was able to stand straight, and that's symbolic of what God does for our spirit, us spiritually, what God does for us emotionally, mentally. He enables us to stand. We can't do it without him. Now, I think it's interesting in this story in John chapter 5, when Jesus asks this guy, do you want to be made well? He doesn't say, yes, please. He tells his story. You could say he's complaining, he's telling his sob story, or however you want to say it. But I can't get up. Every time I try, I can't. And notice Jesus doesn't say, oh, I'm sorry. How does that make you feel? You know, he doesn't get into a counseling session with him. Now, I totally recommend Christian counseling. I think we all need it. But it's just striking to me that Jesus totally seems to ignore what this guy is saying. Oh, yeah, you got a story, whatever. Stand up. Amen. He just cuts past all that. And what I think he's telling us in that is everyone's got a story, right? Everyone's got problems. Everyone's got issues. Everyone's got a reason why they can't do it. Everyone's got a woundedness in their heart, and they would like to tell you about it. But it's not to be used as an excuse for not obeying his command. See, this is the guy, when he says stand, this is the guy who spoke the universe into existence. With a word, he said, let there be light, and there was light. When he says stand, this guy is instantly healed. Stand. He spoke it into being, and he can speak that to our souls. When we feel down, when we can't get it together, he doesn't want us to wallow in that and say, well, I can't do this again. He just says, stand. And if you hear his voice speaking to your soul, you stand. In other words, no matter what the problem is, no matter what the circumstance is, no matter what the situation, God's power trumps the problem every time. Now, I went to another scripture that I want to share with you that doesn't seem like it's related to this at first. In fact, I wasn't even reading this for the sermon. I've actually been kind of trying to work my way through the Gospels lately. And it's good when you read through a book of the Bible or through a section of the Bible, because it forces you to read the parts you don't like. You know? And I got to Luke 21, and I don't like Luke 21 because it's the thing about the fall of Jerusalem and the end of the world and all this doom and gloom stuff. And it's like, cheer me up, okay? I need some good news. I don't want to read this. It's bringing me down. Yes, there'll be earthquakes. There'll be famines. There'll be plagues. There'll be... okay, I could watch the news. If I wanted to watch that, I could watch the news. I don't want to read Luke 21. Okay. Switching over to the other mic here. Anyway, don't like Luke 21. Was reading it anyways, forcing myself to read it. And I was amazed. Because Jesus is talking about, I think our focus in that, and for me anyways, when I've read that before, my focus has been on like the world events aspect. All the bad stuff in the world happening. And Jesus is, it seems like when I read it this time, I felt like he was saying, yeah, that kind of stuff's going to happen. But what I really want you to pay attention to is the condition of your souls while that stuff is happening. That's what I'm getting out of it. You can read it for yourself. But he talks about, in verse 25 and 26, he talks about people experiencing anguish, perplexity, and terror. Now, these are soul words. These are emotion words. These are mental words. And I looked them up to make sure I understood it. And boy, these words are nasty. These are a stress and a pressure that is crushing you. You're feeling locked in, trapped, no way out. We want to run but can't. Want to stand but can't. The pushing down of these words is just horrible. Anguish, perplexity, and terror. And he says in verse 28, when you see that happening, now is he talking about the earthquakes and the famines and stuff? Yeah, I guess, but when you see the anguish and the perplexity and the terror happening, here's what I want you to do. Verse 28, he says, stand up and lift up your heads. He adds that. Can you picture that when you're feeling like that? Oh, Lord, I can't do it. And the difference. The difference is huge. And your soul and body are connected. So even if you physically do that, like we ask you to physically stand up in worship, and we encourage you to physically lift up your heads or lift up your hands, it physically changes something in your soul when you physically do that. Like when you're unhappy and you force yourself to smile. Did you ever do that? I've tried that before, like, yeah. But something happens. The brain chemicals or something, it starts to shift something, and it worked. Anyway, that was that was a bonus. That was for free. So what I'm reading in Luke 21, I'm seeing the stuff that happens in the world is trying to push us down, and he wants us to stand. But no one's here to help me. I can't get it. Whatever the circumstance, whatever the situation. But it says that there's an earthquake. But it says that on the news, it said that. No, stand. Stand. He just keeps saying it. Stand up. Paul echoes it in Ephesians 6, spiritual warfare chapter. That's what this is, by the way. Spiritual warfare. When you are mentally wrestling, emotionally wrestling with fears, when you're wrestling with feeling trapped, feeling anxious, feeling hopeless, feeling helpless, you know, despair, depression, whatever kind of negative feeling it is, that's spiritual warfare. The enemy loves to use that to push us down. Paul in Ephesians 6, he says four times, stand, stand. Stand, stand. He keeps saying it. No matter how you're feeling, no matter, stand. And he, also in that chapter, he compares it to wrestling. You know, the object of wrestling, I'm not a wrestler, obviously, but the object of wrestling is to pin the other guy down to the mat. Down. Pin him down. Stay down. Right? Get fired up. That's what the enemy's trying to do to us. Fear. Fear. How about despair? Hopelessness. Try this one. Sadness. Depression. He's pushing us down. And I will never forget, and I think I told Ben this, I went to the wrestling match one time, just once. Couldn't handle it. I went once to watch Brady. It was probably Brady wrestling. And I watched I watch some of these young kids coming off the mat defeated, you know, and the look on their face of shame and pain and the tears they were choking back because they got pinned. And unfortunately, a lot of their dads or coaches were there saying, why did you let him pin you? What's wrong with you? You know, like, and it's like, okay, soul wound. Lifetime soul wound. Lifetime of bitterness against the Father God. I know you're laughing because you know what I'm talking about. But in Ben's case, it was so inspiring to see him stand by the mat and cheer on his son and say, I don't know what, you're probably using wrestling words, which I don't know what they are. But he was, you know, in effect saying, stand. He was saying, don't let him pin you down, you know, get the leg, whatever he said. Do the half Nelson, whatever the moves are. Don't let him pin you down. And I got almost in tears watching that match because I was like, that's what God's doing to us. When we're spiritually battling things, he's standing by the mat saying, stand, stand, you can do it. He's not like one of the other fathers or coaches who are saying, what's wrong with you? You let him beat you. He's there cheering us on. Stand up, lift up your head. That's his heart for us. Couple of scriptures I just love. They're so encouraging. Proverbs 24:6. Though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again. We will fall. The enemy will push us down to the ground. It's about getting back up. It's about standing back up. In fact, that's kind of what walking is. You know, every time you take a step, you're off balance. You have to plant your foot in order to not fall. If you think about it, if you watch a little one learning to walk, or if you've been through rehab and you're learning to walk again, I mean, it's a balancing act of falling and standing and moving forward as you're doing it. And that's kind of what life is. You may fall seven times, but keep moving forward. Keep rising. Keep going. And I love this scripture in Romans 14:4. Paul is talking about someone who has weak faith. And people seem in that chapter seem to be down on this person with weak faith. And Paul declares this from the Father's heart. He declares this about the weak guy. He will stand. For the Lord is able to make him stand. He will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. And some of you need to tell yourself that. You need to tell your soul that today. I will stand because the Lord is able to make me stand. I will stand because the Lord is able to make me stand. You need to say that to yourself. It's not because you're rising up in your own power. It's not because you're rising up in your own anger. Stand up for my rights or whatever. You're standing in the power the Lord gives you when you are completely down, when you're completely impossible for you to stand on your own strength. You will stand because the Lord is able, not because you are. That guy at the pool of Bethesda was not able to stand, but he stood because the power of the Lord came upon him. Now, I have to say something about pick up your mat. You know, I guess my main point is stand, but I have to say something about pick up your mat. See, when I was reading, remember in Luke 21, the chapter I didn't like? I was reading in there, and Jesus is encouraging us in the midst of the problems, in the midst of the anguish and anxiety, stand. He adds it again a few verses later, and he's talking about being careful because our hearts will get weighed down. Hearts get weighed down. And he talks about the anxieties of life. Again, those kinds of things he already has been talking about that will weigh us down. And by the way, that word anxiety that he uses, tearing you apart. I'm not just talking about, I'm a little concerned about that. You're talking about like total mental, spiritual anguish, like, I am not going to make it. I'm not okay. That kind of thing. I'm being ripped apart right now. He said, that, be careful, because that can weigh you down. But he also adds this. He says, your heart can also be weighed down with what he calls carousing drunkenness. And when I looked those up, I got the sense that he was talking about any kind of intoxicant and the effect it has on you. And I saw this. The anxieties are coming on you. The fear is coming on you. It's pushing you down. You're going to either reach for God or you're going to reach for something that's going to comfort you. You might reach for food, some chocolate. I would like some chocolate. That's probably the thing I would reach for. Not necessarily alcohol or drugs. How about technology? I'm going to reach for my phone. I need my phone. I got my phone. Okay. Got my phone. Got my game. Okay, I got my game. I'm okay. Think about what do you reach for when you feel in the stress and the pressure and the anxiety and the fear come on. You want something to make you feel better. You're going to reach for it. He says, be careful. He's not saying you can never reach for anything that offers you some comfort. I mean, a good turkey sandwich or whatever, you know, it helps a little sometimes. Have a piece of pie. It might help a little bit. But he's saying, be careful. Be careful, because that can weigh you down as much as the anxiety that you use that to combat. And then next thing you know, you'll be not only weighed down with the anxieties of life, but you'll be weighed down with the addiction that you use to try to escape the anxieties of life, and you'll be double pinned. So he's saying, be careful. And that's where the mat comes in. I believe the mat is our addictions. And the mat is the thing we look to for comfort. This is a beautiful mat, isn't it? This was retired long ago from our lawn furniture. We bought new ones a couple years ago, but I found this kicking around in the basement. And I thought it looked shabby enough to be effective. See, the guy who was paralyzed, he could have just laid there on a stone, right? On the cold stone. It wouldn't have been very comfortable. So he got a mat. Yeah, that's my addiction. Will make this a little bit more comfortable to be down. Because I know I'm down. I know I'm not getting up. I know I've got so many issues that I'm never going to get up anyway, so I might as well just make myself comfortable here, right? Yeah, a little brewski. That'll take the edge off. Feels a little more comfortable now. Feeling okay. It's pretty good here at the Pool of Bethesda. The sun on the water, I could stay here. See, that's how the mat takes you down. It makes it comfortable to be down, and then you don't even want to get up anymore. And notice, you can't pick up your mat when you're on it. You got to stand up and then pick up your mat, and then you can walk. So some of you need to hear that this morning. I think it's curious that he wanted to pick up. He didn't say, get rid of the mat. You're free. He didn't say that. He said, pick it up. And I'm like, why did he say pick it up? Don't you want to get rid of it and be free of it? But I don't know the answer to that, but just speculating. If you carry your mat around with you, it becomes part of your testimony. Right? Why are you carrying that mat around? Well, let me tell you. Used to be laying on this mat. So when I say take up your mat and walk, I'm not saying take your addiction with you. You'll need it. Comes in handy once in a while. I'm saying Don't put your weight on it. Pick it up. Don't let it be your master. Master it. Take it. Now let me finish reading this passage here. John chapter 5. We left off at verse 9. It sounded like a good ending. Pick up your mat and walk. And he stood. Amen. Praise the Lord. But here's the real end. John 5, starting at the middle of verse 9. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jewish leader said to the man who had been healed, "It's a Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you." I'm thinking to myself, "Hey, bro, you're walking. Praise the Lord. Isn't that awesome?" No, he doesn't have like a happy moment with him. Yeah, you're well. Stop sinning. Something worse may happen to you. It sounds really cold. It's like, Jesus was pretty cold with this guy. First, I don't want to hear your sob story. Just stand up. Yeah, you're standing up. Stop sinning. It's like, okay. But the word he uses for sinning here is the word they use for missing the target in archery. It's the word that they use for getting off track a little bit, off the path, off the beaten path. So what I saw in this is spiritually going from a place of being fallen spiritually to a place of being able to stand with God upright. But I think Jesus was seeing this guy was just a little bit off the path a little bit. Like, hey, careful. Straighten that up, because you know you're heading off the path here. But this, to me, it confirmed to me that the miracle was not about him being able to walk physically. The miracle was about him being able to walk spiritually. Because in their language, it's the same as in our language. Your walk is how you conduct your life. Pick up your mat and walk. He didn't just say stand. He didn't say pick up your mat. He said walk. Walk it out. Every step when you walk, you know, some of you have your fitness trackers and you keep a track of your steps, thousands of steps a day, right? Every step is a choice. I'm going to keep moving this direction. I'm going to go this direction. I'm going to go this direction. Every step is a choice. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to stop. Every day we make thousands of little choices. You get off, slightly off track, and who knows? Before you know it, you're way off. You got to watch your step. And you got to do, no matter whether there's bad things happening in the news or whether there's yucky stuff happening in your heart and mind, whether you feel good or not, whether you think you can do it or not, you got to every moment just do the next right thing. Just keep taking the next step, one step at a time. In Galatians 5, Paul talks about standing firm in the freedom of the Holy Spirit. And later in that chapter, he talks about walking by the Spirit. See, it takes us back again to the Garden of Eden. They were standing unashamed with God. They didn't have anything guilty bothering them in their relationship with God. They knew they were good with God. They knew they didn't have to be forgiven at that point because they didn't do anything wrong yet. But they knew things were good with them and God. They were able to walk with him and have close relationship with him. And that's where God wants us to be again, spiritually, he wants us to be able to walk with him every step of the day, every step of the way, every moment of each day. He wants us to be good with him, close to him. Well, normally at the end of the service, we stand. I don't want you to stand yet because I'm going to pray, and I want standing to mean something. Okay? Some of you may feel led to stand as we pray. Lord, we are all like this man by the pool. We do all have spiritual issues, mental, emotional issues that hinder us, to keep us from walking freely with you, to keep us from standing in your presence with a clean heart. We have stuff, Lord. And this is stuff that we can't get over, really, on our own. So we need you, Jesus, to speak a word to our hearts today, a word of healing. Some are in particularly in a difficult place emotionally. Some are particularly in a difficult place mentally. After the last 2 years that we've been through, I think most of us probably are feeling that. Some of us are in particularly in a spiritual battle right now, or in a battle with temptations or addictions. And we just want to acknowledge today that we have those problems. We can't get up. We can't walk with you. We need you, Lord. We need a miracle, Lord, and we need you to speak to our souls to stand. We need you to give us the power to stand. Your word says that we will stand because you are able to make us stand, not because we can, but in your power, Lord. So I ask you to speak to people's souls today, people who are down in the midst of it, battling the battles of fear, of darkness, of depression, of suicide, of addiction, whatever battle people are fighting, discouragement, hopelessness, depression, despair, stress, anguish, anxiety, heartache. Speak to them and tell them to stand, Lord. Give them the power to stand. Give people, Lord, the power to pick up their mat and walk. Give you just a moment here to hear from the Lord. And if you need to respond to him by standing, it's not in our strength. It's not in our strength, Lord. We can't do it without you, Lord. Give us the power to stand, Lord. Give us the power to pick up our mat. Give us the power, Lord, to walk. Enable us to stay close to you and on track with you, Lord, as we walk each day. And we thank you, Jesus. You are the God of miracles. You are the one that gives us the strength to stand, Lord. You are the one who heals us. You are the one who enables us to walk before you with a clean conscience, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We are not righteous on our own, but when we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ, we can stand before God, clean and free. So we give all the glory and honor to you, Jesus, for making that possible, to enable fallen humanity to stand again, to enable us to walk with God again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for enabling that by your death, burial, and resurrection, Lord.
We receive the power to stand from you today, Lord. We receive the power to have victory over our addictions today. We receive the power to move forward, do the next right thing in the midst of the chaos. We receive the power we need from you today, Lord, and we give you glory. In Jesus' name.